to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Christy Snyder. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Steve, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Christy Snyder, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site, where you may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenter is AJ Belodia. AJ is a member of the WebSphere Application Server Support Team. He joined IBM in 1987 and has held various software development positions. For the past 5 years, he has been actively involved with the WebSphere Application Server Support Team, specializing in WebSphere administrative components and configuration of security. Today's topic is configuring Secure Sockets Layer, or SSL, in WebSphere Application Server. It will include a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will open for a question and answer period. If you are in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site by clicking View Presentation or by going to any IBM.com site and typing 7007562. That's 7007562 in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to AJ. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Christy. Hi, this is AJ, and today's topic, as was just mentioned, is WebSphere Support Technical Exchange, SSL, Secure Sockets Layer Configuration in WebSphere. We are currently on slide number one. Can we please go to slide number two? Okay. First, we'll talk about what SSL stands for. SSL stands for Secure Sockets Layer, and it provides security that for data that travels across networks. So we are talking about security at the transport layer. Why is SSL important? The data that leaves your computer and is reached at the destination computer or the user that expects the data, that data traveling across the network needs to be protected, and SSL provides the mechanism of protecting this data that is traveling across the network from the sending computer to the receiving computer. The data that is traveling obviously is unsecure, so that needs to be protected. And data, you know, like credit card information, user IDs, passwords need to be protected. So we have SSL basically to protect data that is traveling across the networks. Slide number three, please. Can we go to slide number three, please? Yeah, I'm not seeing slide number three at present. I'll continue, and I'm hoping everybody else can see slide number three. Slide number three talks about the security components that are part of the Java 2 platform. Security API is the core of the Java programming language, and as such, it provides various components that provide security. The various components that provide security are JCA. I can see the screen now. JCA stands for Java Cryptography Architecture. JCE, Java Cryptography Extension. JSSE, Java Secure Socket Extension, and JAS, which is Java Authentication and Authorization Services. And we'll briefly touch on these four components, but we'll not be going into detail on what each component is. We will be talking in great detail about JSSE, which provides the SSL. Can we please go to slide number four? Slide number four is JCA. So again, it stands for Java Cryptography Architecture. It is one of the components of the Java 2 language, which provides the security. It is basically a framework for accessing and developing cryptographic functionality for the Java platform. It is basically a set of specifications or conventions that are required to provide the cryptographic functionality in Java. Can we please go to slide number 5? JCE is another component of Java 2 security platform. It stands for Java Cryptographic Extension. It provides extensions, and it provides actual implementations for encryption, key generation, and key agreement for the data that is supposed to be sent across the network. So it basically extends the APIs in JCE. Can we please go to slide number 6? JSSE is the third component of the Java Security Platform. It stands for Java Secure Socket Extension. It basically provides the same functionality as JCE, however, it exists at the socket layer. Again, the data that is going to be sent across the network is done through socket programming. It provides the classes for secure sockets, and they are part of javax.net.ssl package. So you basically use this package to do your socket programming. The security services that are provided by JSSE consist of transport-level message integrity and confidentiality, encryption basically. It also includes server authentication, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the next few slides. It also includes optional client authentication. This is not very common, but you know, some computers do enable client authentication. And it is integrated, as discussed, in JDK 1.4. So JDK 1.4 includes the four components of security, which JSSE is part of. Can we please go to slide number 7? The JAS, or it stands for Java Authentication and Authorization Service, is the fourth component of the Java 2 platform that provides security. It is basically a package that enables services to authenticate and enforce access controls upon users. So basically, it provides authentication and authorization. Authentication is basically verifying that the user is who or she, you know, who he or she is claiming to be. So it basically, you know, provides authentication by verifying that the user is the correct user that the computer or the program is expecting. And authorization is basically validating that the user has rights to access a particular resource on the system after he has been authenticated. So authentication and authorization go hand in hand. Can you please go to slide number 8?
And as the screen paints, I'd like to remind everyone that if you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing 7007562 in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. Thank you.
Before we discuss how SSL is set up, I would like to go through a couple of you know, definitions or the vocabulary kind of words that are used when you talk about SSL. Certificate is one of the words that you'll use or hear a lot often. It basically means it's basically a code that is used to authenticate users and data on the network. So it's basically a code that is given to authenticate a user or a computer. Signer certificate is a certificate that contains the public key. We'll talk about public key just a little later. And again, I'm just going to touch on all these concepts about SSL because those are really something that is out of the scope of the presentation, but we will be using some of these terms to configure our SSL in WebSphere. So we'll touch on these terms so you have an understanding of what they mean, and if you're interested in knowing more, there are a great number of presentations and links available, which we'll be giving to you at the end of the presentation. user certificate is a personal certificate, and it's basically that contains a private key and the corresponding public key. Can we please go to slide number 9? Private key. So private key is basically a code which is not shared with anyone on the network. It is used to basically to decrypt the information that has been encrypted using its corresponding public key. It is used to encrypt information that can be decrypted with the corresponding public key. So basically in SSL, you have a client and you have a server. Client is going to be sending information across the network to the server. This information needs to be protected, and as a result, there got to be some mechanism that this information can be understood both by the client and the server, but by nobody else that has access to the network. So we basically want to encrypt the data that is traveling across the network, and we have to establish some kind of encryption. And all this public key, private key, certificate, those are the things that are used to accomplish the encryption of data and also decrypt the data when it's needed. Can we please go to slide number 10? A public key is, again, a code that is given to other applications and users on the network that needs to communicate with the other server. It is used to decrypt the information that was encrypted with its corresponding private key. And obviously, there's more to this than just decrypting the information. I mean, there's a secret code that's established, and we'll look at that in the next foil. And it is used to encrypt the information that it needs to send to the server, which the server will then use to decrypt it on the other end. Slide number 11. So we talked about the public key and the private key and the files that are used to store that information. So basically, KeyStore is a file that is used to store the information about the keys. It is a location where the certificates are stored. It is also known as the Trust Store and the Key Stores, and we'll talk about what the Trust Store and the Key Stores are in just a bit. Slide number 12. So when data travels across the network, the client and the server need to establish a handshake, and this basically involves client agreeing to send its information to the server and server recognizing the information that has been sent by the client. The client needs to encrypt the data, and the server on the other end needs to decrypt the data and then send a response which is encrypted, which needs to be decrypted again by the client. So a protocol has to be established between the client and the server to agree on certain kind of keys and secret code that will be used to encrypt and decrypt the data on both the ends. So SSL handshake protocol is basically before the data that can be sent across an SSL connection, the two ends must negotiate and exchange key information. And this is where the terms that we just used earlier come into play, the certificates, the public key, the private key. The handshake protocol basically includes the following. A client that needs to communicate to the server will initiate a communication to the server. The server will send its public certificate to the client, and the client will verify the server certificate. So this is one of the first steps that is used in establishing a SSL handshake protocol. So at this end, the server, we have seen that the client initiates the connection to the server, and server is sending the public key. Now this is important because the client needs to know that it is talking to the server that it intends to talk to. So by looking at the public key into the trust store, it verifies that this is indeed the server that it intended to talk to. Now, once it receives the public certificate, the client can also send its certificate, which is the public certificate, to the server, and the server will verify the client certificate. and this is called client authentication. This is, again, not very common, but it can be used where the server needs to identify the client, and the client will send its public key to the server. Server will look in its trust store to make and verify that this client is indeed that it would like to talk to. The third step would be for the client to encrypt a password and send it to the server. Now, this password can only be decrypted by the server because it holds the private key. Any data that is encrypted using the public key can only be decrypted by the private key, and the private key only belongs to the server. And as a result of these three steps, a handshake is established and data is sent across the network from the client to the server and from server back to the client. And now we established a way to encrypt the data from one end, decrypt it on the other end, and vice versa. So this is the most important thing in SSL. You have a client and you have a server, and the client needs to send the data to the server, and server needs to send the response back. All the data that is sent between the client and the server needs to be protected, and SSL is used to protect this data. And we just looked at how the data is encrypted and decrypted on both the ends, and how the public key and the private key are used to encrypt and decrypt the information. And again, there are lots of links and lots of information. This is just a very brief summary of what is happening when SSL handshake occurs. Slide number 13, please. The WebSphere application server uses SSL to encrypt and decrypt the data. And there are various components within WebSphere application server that uses SSL. And we'll be talking in detail about how to set up each one of the components to use SSL. So there are four basic components within WebSphere application server that can use SSL: HTTP transport, object request broker, LDAP client, and SOAP port. These are the four components within WebSphere application server that can use SSL to encrypt and decrypt the data. Slide number 14, please. SSL configuration within WAS. So in order to configure WebSphere application server, we need to set up SSL, or we need to set up information about the SSL into WebSphere application server so that one of its components will make use of this setting. So first of all, we have to define what is called a SSL repertoire. And a repertoire is basically a repository or a place where information about SSL is stored. It will have information about the key file, the trust file, the passwords, and all that kind of information that will be needed when doing SSL. So the first step is defining the SSL repertoire. The second step will be associating the repertoire to the component that needs to use the SSL. And we just talked about four components within WebSphere application server that can use SSL. And in order for those components to use SSL, it needs to associate the repertoire that is defined in WebSphere application server. So again, there are four components that we talked about within WebSphere application server that can use SSL: HTTP transport, object request broker, SOAP port, and also we talked about a little bit about the LDAP client, where WebSphere application server will be communicating to LDAP server, and this communication needs to be SSL. So, those are the four components. In order to set up SSL for these four components, these are the three steps that we have to do. The first step is defining the SSL repertoire, then associating the repertoire to that particular component of WebSphere application server. And the third thing we need to do is importing the necessary signer certificates in the trust store. And again, the trust store location is defined in the repertoire, which was given in step number one. And we'll go through each detailed step of each of the components within WebSphere application server and how things are set up there. But these are the three steps that we need to remember. Slide number 15, please. So how do you define an SSL repertoire? You can use WebSphere Application Server's admin console to do this. The first thing you need to do is start up your deployment manager or your server if you're running a single server without the deployment manager. You open up the admin console. You navigate into the left pane. You expand the security and click on SSL. And then you can open an existing repertoire. It will list the repertoires that are already defined. WebSphere Application Server ships with a default SSL repertoire, so that will be there by default. However, you can define new ones that you need for your applications. And again, just a note there, you know, WebSphere Application Server ships with the default SSL settings repertoire. It has dummy key files and the trust files that are already defined. And it is recommended, highly recommended, that you change this repertoire or define your own repertoire to have your own unique key files and trust store files. So just to recap what we have done so far, we talked a little bit about what SSL is and why it is important. We talked about how to set up SSL. And that basically involves what we need to do within WebSphere Application Server to set up SSL. There are four components within WebSphere Application Server that can use SSL: HTTP transport, ORB, which is the object request broker, when WebSphere acts as a client to connect to an LDAP server, so LDAP client, and the fourth one is the SOAP port within WebSphere Application Server that we can have SSL set up. Then we talked about defining the repertoire, which basically contains the settings that are needed for establishing SSL communication. The second thing we need to do is associate that repertoire to one of the components within WebSphere Application Server, so that component within WebSphere Application Server is set up to use SSL. And the third thing we need to do is import the signer certificates or the signer keys into the repertoire's trust store files. So these are basically the steps that we need to understand in establishing SSL communication from WebSphere server to another WebSphere application server or to another component that uses SSL. Slide number 16, please. A little bit slow. It's painting the screen. This screen basically shows you a graphical representation of the admin console. Okay, so this is the admin console screen where you define an SSL repertoire. As you can see, on the left-hand side, you click on the security button. You expand on security, and then you go to SSL. And then in the SSL configuration on the right-hand side, you'll see different settings that you can specify for your SSL repertoire. And out here, as you can see, there's a key file name. There's a key file password. Then there's a the format for the key file, there is a trust file name, there is a trust file password, and a trust file format. The formats are, you can use different formats for this that are supported by the Java security component, which is one of them is JKS. And then there is an optional client authentication, and that basically means, the client will send its certificate to the server so server can verify that it is the client that it wants to talk to. So this is basically a graphical representation of defining SSL repertoire in WebSphere Application Server. Can you go to the next screen, please, which is slide number 17? So the next step, after you define your SSL repertoire, you need to associate the repertoire to one of the WebSphere Application Server components that need to use SSL. Again, there are four components that we'll be talking about: HTTP transport, object request broker, LDAP client, and the SOAP port. These are the four mechanisms or four places or four components within WebSphere application server that you can establish SSL communication. Slide number 18, please. Okay, there's some printing problem on slide number 17. Okay, I see it's now complete. Okay, slide number 17 is associating the reporter to the HTTP transport. So once you associate SSL reporter to HTTP transport, any communication to that transport will be SSL, and it will use the following information to establish SSL. Okay, so basically what you need to do when you want to associate the reporter to HTTP transport, you open up WebSphere Application Server Admin Console, you navigate in the left pane, and we'll see a graphical representation of this on the next screen. But these are basically the steps that you need to do to associate the HTTP transport to SSL. The third step is expand the servers and click on Application Servers. Then you click on the server or the transport within the server that needs to have SSL. So step number four is click on the server. Step number five is to click on the additional properties under the web container. Step number six is under the additional properties, click on HTTP transports, and then click on SSL enabled port. And can we please go to slide number 19? Again, this screen has graphics on it, so it may take a few seconds to print. And it basically just shows you how to associate the reporter to your HTTP transport. While the screen is printing, it basically, again, is a graphical representation. On the left-hand side, you see the various components of WebSphere application server. You see the servers, you'll see applications, you'll see the security component, you'll see the environment, you'll also see system information there. Okay, so you click on the servers, and then underneath the servers, you'll click on application servers. Underneath the application servers, you'll click on the server that you're interested in or you want to set up the SSL for. So, for example, here we have chosen server 1. And within server 1, under the additional properties, you click on web container. And then under the web container's additional properties, you click on HTTP transport. And this is the screen that you get, and it tells you your host name, the port, which is the port that will be used for SSL communication. You need to check the box SSL enabled there, and then you need to specify the reporter that you want to use for this particular HTTP transport. So any communication going through this transport will be SSL and will use the reporter that is specified here. Slide number 20, please. So the next component within WebSphere Application Server where you can enable SSL is for ORB. And ORB is basically used for EJB communication, so one EJB communicating with another EJB. This could be on the same server or on a different machine. And when it's communicating on a different machine with SSL, we'll see where the SSL settings are picked up from. So again, the settings for the ORB for specifying SSL are done by opening up the admin console. You navigate in the left pane and expand the security and click on the authentication protocol for the ORB. And then the step number four is, depending on whether the SSL communication for this is, whether it's a client or a server, you would click on the CSI V2 inbound transport or CSI V2 outbound transport. So depending on what your application is at that particular point, if it's a client, then you need to click on the inbound. If it's a client, you need to click on the inbound transport. And if it's a, actually, it depends actually whether it's a client or a server. But basically, you'll be clicking on the inbound transport or the outbound transport. Next slide will show you a graphical representation of associating the reporter to the orb. And can we please go to slide number 21? Again, some clarification on the inbound versus the outbound transport. Basically, inbound transport. So if your application is going to be a server, then you need to set the SSL setting for inbound. And then if your application is going to be sending the request to another server, then you need to set the outbound SSL settings for that, so outbound transport. So that's what inbound and outbound is. Inbound is when your application is at the receiving end, you're setting up the inbound. And if your application is the one that's going to be sending information, then you're setting the outbound. Just a little clarification on the previous screen. So this is the graphical representation of associating a reporter to an orb. So basically what you're doing is you're going on the admin console. In the left pane, you're expanding on the security. You expand on the authentication protocol. And then, depending on your application, whether it's inbound versus outbound, you select the CSI V2 inbound authentication or the outbound authentication. On the right-hand side, regardless of whether it's inbound or outbound, it will have a transport. So you basically need to make sure that is SSL supported or required if it's not really 100% SSL all the time. And then you have your SSL settings, and this is where you specify the reporter that will be used for this inbound or outbound transport. Slide number 22, please. When your WebSphere application server acts as a client to the LDAP, so during authentication and authorization, WebSphere application server will connect to the LDAP server. And if this connection needs to be SSL, then you need to enable the connection for SSL within WebSphere application server. So you open up the admin console, you navigate in the left pane to the security tab and expand on the user registries, and then select the LDAP as a user registry that's being used. And one of the settings in there is to make sure that the communication is SSL, and it will also let you put in a reporter name within the console. So the next screen gives you a graphical representation of setting up LDAP or SSL from WebSphere application server. Can we please go to slide number 23? Again, due to graphics, the screen is slow to paint. Almost done, okay. So here you can see on the console, on the left-hand side, you basically expand on security. You go to your user registries, expand on user registries. Then you click on LDAP, which is the user registry that you're using. And under the user registry, you'll see a setting there for specifying the SSL configuration. And this is pretty much the same kind of settings that you use for all the components. However, the screens are different, and the navigation is different based on what components of WebSphere application server that you're trying to enable SSL for. Can we please go to slide number 24? Okay, slide number 24 gives you steps to associate your repertoire to a SOAP port within WebC application server. And the steps are listed from 1 to 8, and we'll talk through each step when we look at the graphical representation. So can we please go to slide number 25? So the first step to associating the repertoire to a SOAP port would be by opening up the admin console, which we can see is painting slowly. Okay, in the left pane, you can expand on the servers and the application servers. And underneath the application server, you click on the server that you're interested in. Under the additional properties, you need to click on administration services. Under the additional properties, click on the JMX connectors there. And then you click on the SOAP connector. And then you click on SSL config, which will basically give you configuration settings, or it will allow you to specify a repertoire that will be used for this particular SOAP port for this application. So this is just a graphical representation of doing that. Now I want to go through again just a brief summary of what we just talked about. So first we talked about SSL and why it's important. The second step, we looked at some of the key terms or definitions that are used in establishing SSL communication. The third thing we talked about was defining SSL repertoire within WebSphere application server. And fourth, we talked about the different components of WebSphere application server that can make use of SSL. And in order to make use of SSL, it has to associate SSL repertoire that was defined. And this SSL repertoire has the settings that are needed for making a SSL call. So these are the steps that we just talked about. Slide number 26, please. So some of the common problems that can be encountered and that are well known are, let's talk about the first one here on the screen here. When you're trying to connect to an LDAP server, you can connect to the LDAP server on a non-SSL port, but you cannot connect via SSL port. And the reason for this is we need to trace and find out what the actual problem is with the connection. So in general, most of the times, the problem boils down to the following two steps. So the first thing you need to do is find out the SSL repertoire that is associated with the LDAP configuration within WAS. So LDAP was one of the components that we looked at by going into the security tab and expanding on that and going into the user registry and looking at the repertoire. So find out the repertoire first that is being used for this LDAP SSL connection call. And then the second step is to make sure the signer certificate of the server, which is the LDAP server that you are connecting to, is present in the trust store that is defined in the repertoire. A lot of times you get an error, unknown certificate or certificate not available on the tracing when you look at the SSL tracing. So basically, one of the first things you need to determine and make sure is that the signer certificate from the server that you're trying to connect to is present in the client's trust store file, and in this case, client being WebSphere application server user registry connection. So you go into the security configuration for WebSphere application server, determine the SSL repertoire that's being used. From the SSL repertoire, you find out the name of the trust store file that is being used. And then in the trust store file, you need to make sure that the signer certificate of the server, which in this case is the LDAP server, is present. So this is one of the first common problems. Can we please go to slide number 27? Okay. second problem discusses about deploying a portlet. And here we're talking about the WebSphere application server or the WebSphere portal server portlet. Portlet is basically a WAR file. So this applies to not only just portlets, but it also applies to any WAR file that you may be installing. The error out here shows that fatal unknown certificate. Again, we need to determine what the channel of communication is from the install to the server. So in this case, WebSphere portal server is establishing a SOAP communication to the WebSphere application server's deployment manager, if it's a deployment manager environment, or to the single server environment. In that case, it will be just a SOAP connection to the server itself. So in this case, we need to know what the client is and what the server is. In this case, the client is the WebSphere application, WebSphere portal server, and the server is the WebSphere application server's deployment manager. The channel of communication is SOAP, so we need to look at the SSL settings for the SOAP on both the ends. So first we need to look at the SSL settings that are for the portal server. And portal server by default is not configured to use any specific SSL repertoire. So it by default will go to CA certs file, which is supposed to contain the certificates. Now look at the SOAP communication SSL settings on the server. In this case, it's the deployment manager. So you need to go to the SOAP port for the deployment manager and look at the SSL repertoire there, determine the certificates that are present in the SSL key store file there. What you need to do is you need to export the certificate from the trust store file or from the key store file that contains the signer certificate. So basically you're exporting the signer certificate from the SOAP port SSL repertoire and importing that signer certificate into the CA certs file, which is for the client. So for any SSL communication problem, you need to understand what the client is and what the server is. On the client side, you determine what the SSL settings are. You need to know what the key store, what the trust store file is, where the locations are. And then the second thing you need to determine is the channel of communication, whether it is SOAP, is HTTP transport, whether it's ORB, or you're making an LDAP connection. Then you go to the server and look at its SOAP settings and determine the SSL repertoire and the trust store and key store files. So this is how you use SSL to configure different components of WebSphere application server. And please go to slide number 28. Okay, slide number 28 gives you links to some of the URLs or important links, I would say, in connection to SSL. The first link out there is for WebSphere application server support site. And this link, this is the main link that can, give you sublinks to all the other links that are referred in this presentation and some of the known problems that already exist and recommendations and solutions. The second link is for the WebSphere application server info centers. You can go to different info centers from this link. The third one gives you step-by-step information and instructions on custom SSL for advanced JSSE developers. I would highly suggest that you take a look at this link. It gives you a cookbook-style instructions on how to set up JSSE. And the fourth link is a must-gather document for JSSE SSL issues. If you encounter any JSSE SSL kind of problems in your environment, one of the first steps to do before you call IBM would be to gather the information that is recommended in this link and send that information along with your problem description. This will greatly reduce the time that would be needed to diagnose the problem, because once we have this information, we can look at your configuration, you can look at your SSL repertoire, we can look at your SSL settings, we can also know what the trust store is being used and all the information that is needed to determine what the problem might be. So if you send us the information that is in this must-gather document, we'll be able to quickly diagnose the problem and provide you with a quick solution. Slide number 29, please. Okay, this chart basically includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. And you can visit the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules that will help you get, you know, new users get started with the product and up the learning curve very quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And I would highly suggest you look at this ESR link because you do not need to call. You can update the PMR, you can update the problem record, and provide us with information online without having to call. And you can also go to my support link on all product support pages, which lets you sign up for weekly email updates for the product that you're interested in. So these are some of the general links that help you with the support process as well with the WebSphere application server. So with this, I hand it over to Christy.
Okay, thank you, AJ, for a great presentation. So before we get to the question and answer session, I would like to conduct a short poll. Questions will appear in the e-meeting, and your participation is greatly appreciated. The first question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The information presented today was useful to me. Please answer 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. The second question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Please answer 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. Question 3. Did this call meet your training expectations? Please answer 1 for yes and 2 for no. Next, please provide us comments to help improve future webcasts. And I'll just pause for a moment to allow everyone a chance to answer. And finally, is there a topic you would like to see scheduled? Once again, I'm just going to pause for a moment to allow everyone a chance to answer, and we welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. And at this point, Steve, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn it over to our presenter.
Thank you, Christy. If you'd like to ask a question or if you have a comment, press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. Please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 for questions or comments. And we'll go to John McDonald.
Hi, EJ. I had a question about web services. Can you use SSL repertoires with web services? And also, do applications require to provide any application-specific code, such as GSSE?
Thank you, John. Yes, you can set up... I'm sorry. Yes, you can set up secure SSL for your web services. There is a DeveloperWorks article and also a technical DCF document on the WebSphere support site. If you search on Web Services SSL, you'll find the link. And if you cannot find it, there are quite a few steps involved in this. I'm not going to go through each step there. But the documentation is very clear on how and what needs to be done. You can send me an email. If you do not find that information, I'll be glad to help you out with that.
Okay, great. I'll do that. Thanks, Adrian.
And as a reminder, press star 1 for questions or comments. We'll go to Mary Ann Fromm.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Mary.
Okay. Actually, I have two questions. What we do where I work, we actually, on the web container side in WebSphere, we turn on client authentication.
Okay.
Okay, so that when the web server communicates to WebSphere, WebSphere knows exactly who he's allowed to talk to.
Right.
What we've had trouble getting to work though is we have to use self-signed certificates from the web server into WebSphere. Is there any kind of any reason why we would have to, we've never gotten to work without self-signed certificates coming from the web server?
Okay, so basically what you have you have a client. And you have a server, and you want to enable client authentication, and the only way you can get it to work is through using self-signed certificates?
Yes.
Okay.
On the client side. The server side, we don't have to, but on the client side, we do. The client is an IBM HTTP server.
Okay. So basically, you have a certificate that you're sending from your client to the server, and the failure you're seeing at the server side?
Yes.
Okay. So the server's trust store file, does that contain the certificate that the client is sending?
Yes, and it has it in the we import it in as a signer certificate.
Okay, and are the clients and the servers both running in the WebSphere, or are they in different environments?
Well, the client could be remote. It's a web server.
Okay.
I'm just curious. I don't really want you to troubleshoot.
Okay, what kind of errors do you see on the server side?
I had to recreate it at this point.
It would be useful to know what kind of error you're receiving on the server end. If the certificate is already in the trust store of the server, and what I mean by that is the client's signer certificate is in the trust store of the server's trust store. So we need to understand and make sure the certificate is correctly formatted and has matching serial IDs. And we can get that information by enabling JSSE tracing that will actually tell us the trust store that is being used on the server side.
Okay.
A lot of times you may think or you may have a trust store that is configured, but it's not the trust store that is actually associated with that particular transport maybe. Just in general. But we should be able to get that information. If you provide us the JSSA tracing for the must-gather document link that was out there on one of the last foils,
okay.
We should be able to tell you why the failure is occurring.
Okay.
But the setup you have looks good. I mean, you have your client's sign a certificate into the trust store of your server's trust store. All that seems good. But if it's only failing for... You said the self-signed certificates work, but the other certificates fail, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the other question, when you say it's the client signer certificate, what we do on the client side, we request a certificate, and we put it into the client's key database file. Then we take that exact same certificate and export it out and give it to the server.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So it's the exact same certificate, but when we put it into the server side, we're putting it in as a signer certificate.
Right.
Is that correct, or should we have two certificates coming from the client?
Well, that one certificate is the one. I think the process that you're doing is correct.
Okay.
So we just need to determine what the differences are. Maybe a tracing with the self-signed certificates and then another trace with the other set of certificates that you have.
Okay.
Would help.
The other question I had, a quick question, was going to LDAP. When we go to LDAP, right now we're not using SSL. So when we do turn SSL on, do we have to give them our certificate to the LDAP server?
Not unless your LDAP server also requires client authentication.
Okay.
So basically what you'll be doing at that point when you enable your SSL from WebC application server to your LDAP server, you'll be getting the signer certificate from LDAP SSL and importing that into the reporter's trust store file that is associated with your LDAP configuration from WebC application server. So if you look at one of the screens, I think was setting up LDAP from WebC application server. So if you expand on security and then go to user registries and LDAP, one of the things in there, you specify a repertoire that will be used from WebC side when it's connecting to the LDAP. And you go to that repertoire and you get the information about the trust store and key store files. So what you'll be doing is when you get the certificate from your LDAP, you'll be importing that certificate into the trust store that is defined with the repertoire that is associated with the LDAP.
Okay. If we have our own internally generated ones, we have like a root and a subroot, do we actually have to put their certificate in even if we have the root and the subroot? Do you know what I mean? Like we would recognize any certificates. Is that true? Or should we still need to sign the server certificate?
You will still need to sign the certificate from the server.
Okay. Now that's interesting because in the web server to WebSphere, that's not the case, though. Is that true?
That is a whole different configuration, and we didn't even touch that part. And I think they use a different mechanism as well of the you're talking about from the plugin to the application server, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that is. There is a whole different presentation. I think there's one in place at some point in time for that, or I'm not sure if it's already been given, but there was one scheduled just for that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You can send me an email, and I can probably give you some more information on that if you require.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
As a reminder, press *1 for questions or comments. We'll pause just a moment. And having no further questions, I'd like to turn the call over to Christy Snyder for any additional or closing comments.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, AJ, for presenting today.
Thank you, Sister.